how serious is this whole situation? And then we'll get into what happened 75,000 years ago. I mean, is there a danger here, John, that something like this could happen today?
There is a risk associated with a super volcano. But indeed, actually, the scientists who are working on this problem of late have determined that in terms of risk, which involves two factors, probability of occurrence of an event and the consequences of that occurrence, probably events a little bit smaller may be have more of an impact on humankind. And that's simply because of their rate of occurrence. However, if we are unfortunate enough to experience something like Toba of 74,000 years ago, all bets are off.
Well, that's true. Marie, tell us a little bit about what a supervolcano is. Most of us, when we think of volcanoes, for example, think about the cones that jut out of the planet, like Mount St. Helens, for example.
Exactly, and I had that same impression. I always thought a volcano was a mountain with a hole in it and lava came out, but there are different kinds of volcanoes, and a supervolcano is typically described as a volcano that produces the largest and most voluminous eruptions that you can imagine. And there is a volcanic explosivity index. It's kind of like the Richter scale that we use for earthquakes. And with volcanoes, you wouldn't call something a supervolcano unless it had a VEI of 8 or above. And it really what they do is they base it on the sheer volume, and John can add to this, of erupted materials. And also supervolcanoes are calderas. It's like a crater or a cauldron. Mm-hmm. The word caldera means cauldron. So if you see a mountain like Mount St. Helens or Pinatubo, those could be big explosive volcanoes, but they're not a supervolcano. They don't meet the criteria.
It's almost like a crater, isn't it?
It's like a big crater, a big depression. And I want to say real quick, if you hear me refer to John throughout the program as Dad, he's my father.
Oh, he is.
Daughter team, yeah. So just, you know, in case I slip and say, hey, Dad, what do you think? Take it from here.
I'm glad you said that, Marie, because for a moment I would have thought you were talking to me.
Hey, Dad. Daddy. So anyway,
good.
Those are some of the criteria. And, John, you can step in and add anything to that.
Well, as we go along, one of the most striking things about this whole field of supervolcanoes is its relative youth. Not the youth of the supervolcanoes themselves, but the study and the recognition of these monstrous events. Really, it's only becoming to the forefront in the past 30 or 40 years and recognized as such around the world.
I almost called you Dad, by the way, John.
Oh, good. Okay.
You know, these, and we're going to talk about dates, too, but the one you just mentioned, the Toba supervolcano, which is in Sumatra in Indonesia, where they also get blasted with incredible earthquakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Indonesia getting blasted with tsunamis. This has got to be one of the worst regions on the planet for earth events, isn't it?
The December 2004 earthquake was a reminder of what I term the subduction factory that feeds the massive volcanoes in Toba, in the Toba complex. There have been more than one in the Toba complex. But earthquakes are a reminder that they're alive, and I hesitate to say well, but they are kicking.
Well, and also, you know, Indonesia is a part of the Ring of Fire, where we have the most tectonic activity in the world, and it's just a real unfortunate location. I mean, apparently it's very beautiful. I've never been there, but it is just so active for earthquakes and volcanoes, and it's part of that Ring of Fire that actually the West Coast of the United States is also a part of.
Well, the other part, too, is even if an event occurs around the planet, it's going to affect us, too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
That's it. Let's talk a little bit, because there's lots to talk about tonight, but let's go back 75,000 years ago, which was the basis point for your book, Supervolcano. Tell us, either one of you can jump in, what happened? What started this?
Well, I can go ahead and start with some of the basics. The reason why we chose to write about Toba is because nobody had told this amazing story that, you know, actually my dad brought the idea to me, and I had not heard it before, that this supervolcano in Sumatra, Indonesia, erupted about 74,000 years ago. And it was such a massive eruption. It was so severe and so drastic that it literally altered the climate, the global climate, and it created a mini ice age. And, of course, it just plunged the Earth into chaos for a period of maybe 6 to 10 years. But it also did something else that was very unique. Around that time, it's approximated that there were about 100,000 humans, Homo sapiens, alive, and Neanderthals, alive at the time. Actually, there were a couple of other species, too. And what Toba did, it was so severe that it almost brought humans to extinction. And it created what is called a population bottleneck. And that is such a drastic reduction in population size that, you know, I think we went down to possibly 2 to 10,000 people from 100,000 or more. And genetically, when you have that few people, you start to have some things occur. And one of the things that Toba did is it could possibly explain why, if we all come out of Africa, and we're pretty sure the out of Africa theory is correct, that right. humans, modern humans, came from Africa. Well, the question has always been asked, if we all came from Africa, why do we not all look African? And a whole bunch of genetic studies have been done that show, and we can talk more about this later, that around the time of Toba, 70, 75,000 years ago, something happened that drastically reduced our population.
And you're talking about a worldwide population change?
Absolutely, because at the time, most of the population was centered in the African and Middle East, you know, just starting to get out into Asia. So we were kind of all clustered in the same spot. But it drastically reduced the population so much that it genetically altered us for the rest of, you know, our evolutionary history. Because when you have a bottleneck, the population numbers get so low that genetic diversity almost disappears. And yet, if you look around, our genes are so similar. We have very little genetic diversity, but nobody's ever been able to explain why we all look so different in 2007.
All right. Explain to us for a moment, though, Maria, when the supervolcano erupts, does it happen like overnight, or are there telltale signs that occur over years? And, you know, had they had scientists around 75,000 years ago, they would have been able to say, folks, something's going to happen in a few years.
I will let John talk about that. I don't even know that we could, that we're really able to predict a supervolcano now, but I'll let him talk about
it. All right. Yeah. What are the signs, John?
Yeah.
The signs are inflation or deformation of a huge piece of real estate. It would begin to expand. However, the timing of an eruption is something else again. I don't think we're at the stage where we can tell whether we're going to have, you know, a moderate volcanic eruption versus a super eruption.